listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Fresh off the plane, konnichiwa, bitches turn around my plane, my passport on pimping. Asked for it, I did it, the asshole done did it. Talked about it, he lived it, spit it, then he shit it. I don't need right tears, I might bounce ideas, but only I could come up with some shit like this. I done played the underdog my whole career. I've been a very good sport, haven't I, this year? They say he gone crazy, and we seen this before, but I'm doing pretty good as far as geniuses go, and I'm doing pretty hood in my pink polo. Nigga, please, how you gonna say I ain't no low head? Cause my Dior got me mo my dough head. I'm insulted. You should go ahead and bow so hard till your knees hit your forehead. And the flow just hit cold red. Top five MCs, you ain't gotta remind me. Top five MCs, you gotta rewind me. I'm high up on the line, you can get behind me, but my head's so big you can't sit behind me. Life of a dawn, lights keep glowing, coming in the club with that fresh shit on, with something crazy on my arm. And here's another hit, Barry Bonds. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Sunday morning. The return of NFL football is upon us. Mm-hmm. Dun, 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 dun. Which means, I'm going to be done by one. Because I, unlike, my more militant black people, I still do watch football. I'm not even going to lie to you guys.
Yeah, I'll be taking a nap about the 4 o'clock game.
Yeah, and I normally fall asleep by 4. But you know what? That we need traditions. And that Sunday nap tradition of falling asleep on the NFL games, after realizing that they are much more boring than I remember, that has become a staple in my house. And
I clear, right?
I don't want to hear shit from y'all.
4 o'clock game, like, I be out.
I don't want to hear shit from y'all because y'all still watch Power, and y'all said y'all were canceling 50 Cent after the revenge porn and then the comments on Terry Crews, and y'all still watch Power. And I saw you tweeting about it, so don't even try to lie, okay? Don't hit me with the not me. You watch something, and I'm on to your shit, okay? This is a big rich town. Of course, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. The official weapon of the show is
the Taser.
And an unofficial sport
is Bullet Ball.
And Bullet Ball Extreme. This podcast is sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. Our new comedy web series, Book Crusher, premieres this Wednesday. Get ahead of it by watching our promo videos. Interactions are crucial to the success of this series, so likes and comments are a huge help. Dislikes and negative comments are counted equally by YouTube, so be evil if you want to. It's all good.
YouTube's like Twitter, like, fuck it, just interact.
Any level of attention is from YouTube. But yeah, so make sure you guys do all that stuff, man, okay? And that's I think that is important, and they need us to support them. So show up for Dexter Wednesday when his new series on Shadow Dog Productions YouTube page premieres, Book Readers. All right. All right, let's get into the show. What kind of stuff is going on here?
I know something I wanted to talk about.
All right,
before we start, I went to the mall yesterday, and that was an adventure. I hadn't been to the mall in a hot minute. I'm old and black and Amazon Prime exists, so I was like, what the fuck I got to, why do I even go to the mall? And we went to a fancy mall, the South Park Mall, and that mall has changed a lot. It is not even the same mall anymore. They priced all the lower end quality stores right on out the mall. Everything in there is high. Everything high. No Foot Locker, no Foot Action, no none of that. And it was crowded and packed, which that really didn't bother me. It was just for the fact that I had to kind of refigure out the layout of the mall. They moved the food court, because the food court used to be, when you come into the food court, it was like a double escalator, and you would like come straight into the food court. So I came up and I was like, okay, no food court here. Where's the food court? And I remember they actually took the food court and pushed it around the corner. Then I went over there to the food court. The food court all fancy. They got a Chipotle, a Chick-fil-A, all kinds of fancy stuff over there. I was like, oh, a Haagen-Dazs. I think that's how you pronounce it. And I was like, oh, we really, really fancy. Because I am getting ready for the live show. And I wanted some Fenty makeup, but I didn't want to order it online. And I don't know what color I am, whatever that means. what color my foundation is. I don't know nothing about makeup, y'all. So for those of you that know about makeup, probably gonna be laughing at my terminology because I don't know. So I wanted to get my color matched for my foundation, and I don't know nothing about it. And I was like, I need to do this in person because I could see me coming in there looking like a fool because I don't know nothing about matching or blending colors or nothing, none of that stuff. So I went and I had it was just a really, I think that was my first time. I know I'm old, y'all, but this is my first time in a mall actually purchasing makeup. So I didn't know it was going to be like packed. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if what it's called. Sophia is the place that was selling it, and makeup could be
Sophia.
My bad, y'all. Tell y'all I don't know nothing about no goddamn makeup. I went in there and it was like a lot of
Sephora.
Okay. Sophia. You don't told Hoppo to beat me. That's why everybody got makeup on. I just gave it a whole nother fucking name. I'm sorry, y'all. And so I had a interesting experience because you walk in there and it's like movement everywhere. Everybody's just moving and going. And the counters are popping and people walking around and people getting their makeup done and they sitting in chairs getting all glamored up and people like standing by the counters and all that stuff. And it was interesting. I'm not gonna say it was overwhelming. It was just a kind of a lot to soak in, particularly if you're not used to it. And yeah, you smell all types of perfumes and everything smelling fruity and diamond-y and all over. It's very bright and colorful in them places too. All kinds of colors and stuff. And they have all like the makeup section out because the whole store is makeup. So they have like the makeup sections out and mirrors everywhere. Mirrors. Everywhere, because I'm assuming everybody's probably constantly looking, you know, trying to be sure this matches and that matches and all that type of stuff. I had to get on a list because they would pop in, so I had to get on the list so the lady could test my foundation to see what matches my skin tone. And so when she finally did it, she tried like two colors, and I didn't realize with makeup foundation, particularly it's liquid, and so a lot of times it dries. So I got a 450, which is what she said, but I may go back because people were saying that might be too dark for my skin tone once it dries. So I may go back and get the 430. Because it might actually match my skin tone better. And I got,
how could they not know? Or they don't take time for it to dry or something?
Because when we was in there, it's liquid, so we was in there. I did not know it. Like I said, my lack of knowledge, I did not know that you need to wait for it to dry. Because you know, when she put it on there, they put it on there fresh. And a lot of times you have a lot going on. You have a lot, because the lighting in the store is going to be different than the lighting at your house, you know. And so it was like, I didn't get like a full fledged facial done, like sitting at a chair where they put all the lights and spotlight. I didn't get that done. But I was somewhere with mirrors and lights, but it wasn't kind of as bright and as intense as if you are like getting a full facial. So, and like I said, I don't know nothing about makeup, so I didn't know that the liquid dries. And you know, when it dries, sometimes it dries, a little darker. Because when she put it on, it matched. But like I said, and she didn't put a lot on, if that makes sense. Like, she really wasn't trying to give me a full facial. So she just put it on just to see if it kind of blended in. But like I said, I may, because some people were saying that might be too dark for my skin tone.
Yeah, it was weird, though, because they were saying that online. I actually made a joke about it, because they were like, oh, that's too dark because da-da-da. But I'm like, I don't know. You were there in person. You were there with my mom, right?
Yeah, and also
she's a cosmetologist, so I mean, I don't know if it was fucked up, she would have told you. And you know, also if they watch the live show and shit, they normally see you under lights. Like right now you have a light on your computer. I don't.
Yes.
When we're on stage, we're gonna be under lights.
Yes.
So I don't know if they were right or not.
Oh,
I mean, if you need to go back, but I'm just saying, I don't, you know, listen, you cannot let these motherfuckers on the internet get in your head about shit. I actually made a joke about it because it was kind of ridiculous to me a little bit. Not saying they're wrong necessarily, mm-hmm. but in their attempts to help, they not here. You know what I mean? So it's just easy to be like, nah, girl, it's this. Like, okay, I gotta make another trip to the mall, spend more money, and you, like, what if you wrong? You know what I mean? Like, you can't tell just from a picture of me what the fuck I'm supposed to have on. So I don't know. It's just weird like that. You know, like, you can't tell the internet nothing. I guarantee you, if you come back and say, take another picture and be like, I'm a 430, somebody be like, I don't know, girl, you like 410 to me. You need to,
like I said, I have no idea. I know that, at first, but I, with the lip, what you call it, lip, she didn't call it lip gloss, the lip stuff she used, the red kind, the one that's the most popular. I tried that and I didn't realize it was a wet filling, but once it dries, it is a beautiful deep rich red. So I can't wait to get my makeup done and get all pretty and fancy for y'all. And I'm really, really excited. So I was like, cause the people, the event plus like, you don't wear makeup? I was like, I don't know nothing about no makeup. I know zero about makeup, y'all, nothing. I just wash my face and keep it trucking. And so, I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna wear, makeup. So I think I am, and we're gonna see. I want to look natural. I don't, like I said, and everybody is different. Like I said, I don't want to look like I have makeup on. But we will see. I'm excited. So that's what I've been doing, prepping and preparing, and we're still doing last minute stuff. But yeah, I got to get fancy for y'all.
Cool. I just watched Serena play yesterday against Naomi Osaka because I support black women, and she lost, man.
That looked like that was a fucking shit show.
Yeah, she got mad at the line judge because the line judge basically impugned her credibility, where he called a cheating penalty, which a coaching penalty, which is means like your coach is telling you what to do from the stands or whatever. She don't even really let her coach be down there with her. But
and I heard like her back was turned, like she couldn't even see the coach.
Yeah, but the penalty is on the coach, not the player. I believe like when they call that, the player is penalized, which is a stupid system. But the player is penalized and not for what the coach did. So I don't think it even really matters necessarily if you saw it or not. The thing that's weird to me is that it happens all the time. So those coaching happens all the time in tennis, and it's not uncommon. It's just very uncommon for it to be penalized. And then apparently the line judge, umpire, referee, whatever, Ramos, is a dude that is a stickler for a lot of stuff and has had some controversial calls over the course mm-hmm. of his career.
He did the Venus too.
Yeah, he did it to Venus before too. And you know, when it happened, Serena came over and was like, you need to take that point back and apologize, because I don't cheat and I wouldn't cheat. I'd rather lose than cheat.
Right. So,
you know, that I did not, basically I didn't do that shit. And he didn't, of course, take the penalty back or whatever. And then later she broke her racket when she got mad about a return that she knocked into the net. Mm-hmm. That would have been like an easy point, and she broke her racket. Mm-hmm. And that's another penalty.
Men do that fucking shit all the time. They show their rear asses.
That's supposed to be a penalty no matter what. In my understanding, okay. Breaking your racket is not like a judgment call. That's a like, okay, you get a infraction for that.
Okay.
So being that was her second infraction, I believe that cost her a point.
Okay.
Which, you know, basically she goes into the next match down 15 love. Then after that, she, you know, cause he definitely got in her head, and rightfully so. Like, I think that first penalty was uncalled for and it really fucked with her. And she, and I think what I watched happen was her brew over it, because you know how some shit happened to you and you be like, I'm gonna try to get past this, but it just keeps fucking with you.
Right.
And it seemed like it kept fucking with her that he called that first penalty, because it's like, one, you trying to say I'm cheating. Nobody ever calls that shit on me. Two, I would never cheat. And three, this shit resulted in me losing a point, you know. And even though it's cumulative and she shouldn't have broke her racket, and that's what is part of what cost her the point, you know, her thing was like, this first one should not have even counted.
Right.
You need to take that back and apologize. And of course, you know, he wasn't gonna apologize and he wasn't gonna take it back or whatever. And he didn't issue any like, you know, like he could have issued like another warning or something like that. So then,
yeah, 'cause I get warnings.
She basically walked up to him and was like, look, you, I shouldn't have lost that point. You stole that point from me. And she called him a thief. And at that point, he took a whole like game penalty from her. Like you know how tennis is, you go from the first one to win six, is that they win that match, and the second one, then you gotta win, you know, if you win two of the six, like two matches of six, then you basically you win the match, that's it. Well, he took a whole game, like one of those six he just gave to Naomi Osaka, who I also felt horrible for, because she played so fucking good.
That's what everybody said. They were saying she was playing.
She was not shook. That girl was ready. She was ready for motherfucking war, and she had no back down in her. She briefly looked a little like unsettled after like Serena had went off on the ref, because then she lost like a 45 to love like real quick after that, and I was like, she felt like how after your mom or dad cussed somebody out in the car and then you just sitting in the passenger seat like trying not to get their attention. That's how she looked after that shit. So then Serena like went off, you know, like they brought out like the people that run the tournament and shit, and she's like telling them, and because it's mic'd up and you can hear every word she's saying, she's like, look, this is happening to me because I'm a woman. I don't cheat. I would never cheat. My daughter is, you know, like I would, like she brought up her daughter. I said, this is next level shit. Cause like,
right. Cause y'all was like, she's like, look, you're not going to sully my name and have people out here calling me a fucking cheater.
Yeah. I'm like, Serena wouldn't bring up her daughter unless it was real, you know, like that shit was not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I wouldn't cheat, you know, this, and she's like, and then she goes into the history of like, look, I'm a U.S. Open. This is my country. I'm the best fucking tennis player in the country, and have been for 20 years at this point. Why the fuck do every time I come here, I feel like I'm playing on the road? Like, why am I always fighting for calls and respect in my home court? Like, this is ridiculous. So it became about something bigger.
Right.
You know, where I think, for a lot of people, it was like, you know, it's just tennis, or these are the rules. Mm-hmm. And her thing was like, why are these judgment calls always consistently going against me? And the thing is, she never yelled, she never called him, other than say a thief, she never called, cursed at him. I've seen people curse. She never was like inconsolable or don't, you know, like get the fuck out of me, don't talk to me, like it wasn't anything like that. And she basically tried to defend her honor, you right, know?
That's what it was.
And you know, she ends up going on to lose the match, but you could tell that from that point on, she was really just rattled by the whole thing and pissed. And she was gracious in her loss, you know, like, you know, she hugged Naomi, and you know, Naomi was like crying and shit. And you know, it was sad because it ruined the whole match, because like,
right,
she was crying, Naomi was crying for like the wrong reasons. You could, mm-hmm, like, it wasn't that happy, like, oh my god.
Mm-mm.
it was more like I hate being a part of this. It, yes, ruined her win.
Yeah, this was her first win like that, and motherfuckers booed, and you was,
yeah, they
and
were booing, like, they were booing on the umpire, not her.
Right.
And Serena had to tell the crowd like, hey, don't boo, you know, obviously class act. But it's just extremely frustrating for Serena, and I think a lot of black women in general, a lot of black people, but mostly black women, have experienced and can experience that, like, I have a right to be upset right now, but I can't be too upset, because then I become this fucking stereotype of this angry black woman, and who the fuck wants to deal with that shit, you know, on top of what I'm going through. And like I said, she was super composed and everything, so it wasn't just some, you know, she's running around just, you know, snatching up motherfuckers. But it was, I don't know, it was hard to watch, because I just felt so like pissed on her behalf. I felt so impressed by Naomi, and I felt like, more importantly, that would not have happened if it was a man.
Nope.
And the thing that bothers me the most, and this is just the circles that I'm in, this is not a indication of everybody, but it's just the circles I'm in, I seen like the black people I saw that were kind of trying to find a way to make it her, trying to make it her fault, kind of, it was black dudes, and I hate that shit.
Yeah,
where it's like, well, those are the rules, and it's so, people are just so fucking sheepish, because it's like, mm-hmm. all you gotta do is give a motherfucker a set of rules, and they literally will, like, what I'm saying is, all you have to do is tell somebody something is possible via the rules, quote unquote, and they will line up behind it to fight for it, despite the fact that rules are applied haphazardly, and that's where the judgment comes in from the official.
Right.
The judgment, while something may be possible, it doesn't mean that it's always applied. And if the only time it is applied is to a black woman, then we have to start going, well, what the fuck was that? It's not like, this is a, they literally were like, this has never happened before. Someone giving a game penalty in the fucking finals of the US Open has never happened before, man or woman. You know, not to mention, we lionize men for their lack of composure. We, you know, John McEnroe is a legend because of that shit. That Kyrgios dude, like, I literally watched a clip on just 2 weeks ago, I think, maybe even last week, on Highly Questionable, where he was so angry and inconsolable. The fucking line judge came, the ref umpire came down out of that big ass chair and talked to him and told him how the game needs him and he's important and he needs to get back out there and play, because the dude was so emotionally overcome, and people applauded that. And then Serena goes like, hey, you need to apologize, that shit was wrong, you fucked up, and I'm cussing, she wasn't. And people are like, well, she had no business going over there, she should have known that he could do that, so, you know, that's why you don't talk to him. It's like, I don't know, it's just kind of ridiculous.
People talk to them people all the time. It's like you have a no talking rule to them goddamn judges.
Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous, man. So
And then it ruined it for them both,
right? So I don't know, man, it pissed me off, but that's what I did while you were out. So but, and then what else was I thinking? There was something else that happened.
Mm-hmm. I had a ball at the mall, let me tell you that right now. I had a good time.
Well, you know, some of us gotta support black women, you know, you can go do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But
I was supporting a black woman.
Are supported out here in the arts.
I was supporting a black woman, me.
Right, okay. Well, other black women that's not selfish, you know. So somebody, Serena does so
I
much
I was supporting
us.
Another black woman, Rihanna.
So many black women do
I
so
mean,
much
I mean, since
for
we want to get technical.
Mm. Well, you know, I didn't say anything about what you weren't doing. I just said what I was doing.
Come on.
I don't know where you got so defensive.
I was spending my money, too. I mean, you talk about I don't support black women.
I didn't say you didn't support black women. Who said you don't support black women?
I was at home watching TV supporting black women. What were right. you doing at the mall?
I didn't say anything about you, what you were doing at the mall. It seemed like you getting kind of insecure around some things.
I am, because I thought it was implied.
Mm-mm. I didn't apply anything.
You know how you be talking to Justin. You don't support black women, Justin.
I support black women. I'm sure Justin was somewhere not watching anything.
Oh, he don't support black women. I agree with you on that.
I support black women so much. I ordered Papa John's the other day. And a black woman showed up. She was the delivery driver. We both looked at each other like Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man.
Right? You delivering, you?
But it was cool, because she couldn't call me a sellout, and I couldn't call her a sellout, because I was putting money in her pocket. And that's when I realized how harmful what y'all are doing to Papa John's is. Because somebody needs to support the black women that work there. And it's going to be me. Apparently, y'all are too good to support black women with your dollars, So now because they fired a white man that was racist, all the black women gotta lose their money. And now who gonna take care of their kids? Papa John's could close hundreds of stores if sales don't rise.
I can see that.
Discounted pieces and financial aid for franchises aren't doing much to curb Papa John's sales woes, according to recent checks by Stifel. Papa John's same store sales remain under pressure in the third quarter, and if they do not improve, store closures won't be far behind. In July, same store sales at the beleaguered pizza chain plunged 10.5% after it came to light that Papa John's founder used a racially charged slur on a conference call. That trend continued in August. So far in the third quarter, same store sales are estimated to be down 10 to 11%. We are surprised the company's aggressive promotions the past several weeks have not curtailed sales declines, and we believe if the trend persists that it could lead to accelerating store closures during the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm. That completely makes sense, because like you said, sales are dipping, people aren't ordering. You lost your NFL contract that you had, which basically had you plastered everywhere, you know. And the thing is, they was trying to get him to get out before shit popped, and he was like, I'm not leaving. They was like, well, nigga, we got to get you the fuck out of here.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't really start wanting to order Papa John's until the nigga controversy. That, I'm gonna be honest with y'all, because now let me tell you something, the wait time for pizza is like that.
It is quick, y'all.
It's like 5 minutes my pizza was here. I said, damn, I wish y'all had been saying nigga a long time ago.
Put my mouth to God's ears. I really hate those nigger rats and anyone else really that doesn't have pure white Aryan blood running through their veins.
I'm happy to be talking to a true white American.
God bless white America.
That's exactly how I ordered my pizza.
Mm-hmm. Everybody else be like, we got a line. They was like, nope, deliver that immediately.
Mm-hmm. It was like, you can track your pizza on the app. It was like, ooh, my pizza here already. God damn. I ain't had time to do nothing.
Yeah, because, you know, normally we order that one. That one is not a far off, but it's a little distance. You know, sometimes you wait 20, 30 minutes.
I'm talking about 10 minutes. Pizza was here.
Oh, she must have been flying.
And they were so, well, they just don't have nothing to do.
That's true.
We actually talked a couple minutes. That's
wow,
like
right, because normally they dropping off running to the next order. That was probably on order for that hour.
Yeah, you could tell she was bored and she hadn't seen another black person, because you got to think about them poor black women that drive those cars and deliver. Most of the people ordering that pizza over this time have been, you know, Make America Great Again people.
Yeah.
So I was probably the first friendly face she opened the door and seen.
Come on, that long time.
She was shocked. She was like, what are you doing here? I was like, oh no, I live here. This is not, like, she might thought I was a butler or something.
Right,
I'm like, no, I ordered this pizza, boo, to watch the Bobby Brown story.
Yes! All black everything.
And she was like, how you doing? You have a nice Labor Day? I was like, what the fuck is this? Small talk with the pizza person? I've never had this.
Now, who was she rushing to deliver the legs? You probably the only pizza in the car.
She ain't had nowhere to go. And I ordered like a small too. I wish I would have got a bigger pizza, knowing that, you know, she ain't had no customers.
I know. You trying to convince me to come back around.
Too late. I gave you your shot. So I said,
you act like I can't order my own Papa John's.
You won't. So I said, look, the Labor Day was fine, you know. I said, what about your Labor Day? She was like, working. I was like, damn, that, I said, don't that defeat the whole purpose? Because she asked, did I work on Labor Day? And I told her, you know, I work for myself, so I didn't have to. I gave myself the day off. She was like, yeah, I had to work. And I was like, well, damn, she said, I know, that's ironic. Working on Labor Day. I was like, I know. I said, ain't you working the day after? I said, you ain't getting no time off. She was like, yep. I said, well, all right, good luck out there, sister. And then she left. And I felt so bad for her, but somebody got to support black women in this house, and goddamn, it's going to be me if I have to.
I'm glad you
did. Whether it's watching Serena or giving them money for pizza, okay?
Mm-hmm. We both were supporting black women.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, apparently they're going to be, I may have tried the last Papa John's. That's... they're gonna be closed.
They're gonna start shutting down. They're probably gonna start shutting down a lot of these little small towns first, and then they're gonna go to like the large cities with the low sales.
You know what bothers me the most about this shit? I already explained that, you know, I don't really understand the boycott of Papa John's at this point, because they did the right thing and that's what everybody asked them to do, and then motherfuckers still won't support them. That's fine. I mean, I'm not, I get that. I think I've gotten to the bottom of that, and that it's really just more about people's emotions. It's not really about a strategy, and that's why we really shouldn't call any of this shit boycotting, because it's not really boycotting. Mm-hmm. There's really no point to it. But the thing I did realize is that I saw people caping for other pizza chains behind this. Like, oh, they'll never get my money. That's why I give my money to Domino's.
That was a big chain too.
And I said, hold up now. Domino's? Y'all do know Domino's owned slaves, right? Does everybody know that? Has everybody looked that one up?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, look it up. Domino's owned slaves.
Well, what did the slaves make? The sauce? What the fuck is this?
They owned black people, Karen. How do you think Fats got his last name?
Yeah,
so somebody owned his family, Karen. Those names don't just come out of nowhere.
Mr. Domino's owned slaves.
That's how Fats got his last name, because some white man gave it to him. But y'all so woke, y'all ordering Domino's, just putting the money right back in the slave owner's pockets. You can't escape this. This is America. So slavery built this.
So did Mr. Domino's own slaves, and they actually created the game Domino's? I mean, since we're gonna go down the conspiracy hole,
he probably took credit for it. I wouldn't doubt it. It's probably an African game. So I don't doubt that at all. But I know for a fact he owned slaves.
What about Pizza Hut?
I mean, I'm sure they did something too. So I'm just saying, these big companies, you don't get this big massive fortune without getting some bodies. Okay, it's America, it's the American way. But y'all mad at Papa John's for doing the right thing and firing the racist. Oh, my bad. I guess they should have promoted them like every other pizza chain. Y'all let Herman Cain run motherfucking Little Caesars, but that's okay. That's okay. Pizza, right? that's different. Cause it's named Little Caesars. If it was named Black Caesars, y'all would have boycotted, I guess. I don't understand you Negroes.
They're saying it's Godfather's, that pizza.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
No! Godfather's. I have had Godfather's. Godfather's still around?
They call you moolahs and eggplants, but you eat Godfather's pizza. They don't even like your black ass. They don't want you calling yourself any of that shit.
Shit, Little Caesars making a comeback. Sound like they jumping more than Papa John's right now.
It's really sad to see
what's $5 hot and ready.
It's really sad to see what's going on with these black people today. Cardi B and Nicki Minaj got into a major scuffle at Fashion Week.
I was hearing that.
Cardi got hit upside the head. She had a knot on her head. And then she put an Instagram post up saying that Nicki be trying to talk shit about her kid. Yeah, it was serious. The thing is, like, I heard the rumor was that Nicki stepped on the train to Cardi's dress and ripped it, and then Cardi turned around and tried to fight her, and then a bunch of rumors started that weren't true. Somebody said Rod Digger tried to beat up Cardi, but then Rod Digger's like, I was actually at home, I wasn't there.
Wow. Nigga was like, what? I wasn't even invited. What's happening here?
She's like, I'm at home binging Ozark right now, so I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Having a regular night,
right? Regular ass night. I wasn't there.
But yeah, Cardi said that, you know, Nicki's been like trying to ice her out from revenue by trying to keep her from certain events and keep her out of certain spaces and shit. And so then she's been liking comments about Cardi B as a mother and shit on Instagram, you know, like new nigga shit, you know, like, I'm not gonna talk shit about you, but I'm gonna like people talking shit about you. And so it I guess culminated in this brush up. And I don't think, you know, Nicki hid behind security and shit, which is funny because we're at a point where people don't like Nicki, people do like Cardi, so it's the kind of, you know, people being really biased with their point of view. But no, Nicki hiding behind security is, to me, like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. That's why you hire security. If she started the shit, that was fucked up, obviously, but people was like, she's supposed to start it and then turn around and everybody box out back up so we can fight the fair one.
This ain't a schoolyard fight, y'all.
That's not gonna happen. Mm-mm. At these white people's event.
Come on, this is not a schoolyard fight.
The other thing was people being like, Cardi is famous and rich, she should be above this. Man, she got her start on Love and Hip Hop. So it's funny to see people quote unquote root for her as the black girl from the hood, or, you know, depending on how people read her. I don't know how white people feel about Cardi, but as for black people, I know we think she's black. So to see the black girl who we have been like kind of rooting on for being hood and from the hood and not code switching and all this shit, try to whoop somebody's ass at a party.
Oh, like, sounds, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, well, not just that, but how she above this? She come from this. You can get money and fame, it don't change who you are. Like, if you would have whooped somebody's ass when you was broke, well, why the fuck wouldn't you whoop their ass when you got the money to get out of jail? I guess I don't understand this logic.
Come on. Like, money don't change people. It just kind of enhances what's already with them.
Yeah, if I get rich and famous, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be the same. Like, I'm not trying to pretend to be classy and shit. Like, I'm really, and I don't mean I'm going to be out here rolling up fighting people. I don't do that. But I just mean, like, I'm gonna be the same type of dude. I don't want to get rich and now it's like, well, let me fucking start eating caviar and pretending I like this shit. Like, no, I want to still be like, ribs, delicious, and I'm rich now.
Come on,
you know, like,
now I get the fancy ribs. Can I get right. Them ostrich ribs now? I done, my game done moved up.
Oh, cool. These are now Bluetooth Beats headphones that I listen to my trap music in. Like, I don't want to pretend to be fucking better than I am or whatever. But you know, you go to these white events and there's all these white eyes on you. There's black people get super uptight about white people and their ritzy spaces and the Negroes who let us all down with their fighting. And you know, you have to deal with those. Like, I can't believe these motherfuckers would do this, and you know, and all the other agendas. But yeah, my favorite part of all this stuff with Cardi, and I think it's been my favorite part for, I don't know, probably a whole time. People like Cardi.
Right.
She seems pretty genuine. She does great interviews. She's funny. She's not afraid to make jokes of herself. And in a way, and she's very, like, transparent about certain things. And in a way, she kind of makes people like her despite the things that they claim, you know, to not like from people. You know, she's like, she's one of those people that when people talk about your fave, she's one of those people that is that your fave, where people that normally,
they might not come out and say it, but that's who they talking about.
Well, no, I want to be specific. She's one of them. She's not the only one. Okay. There's a
No, she ain't the only one.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, but she's one of those people that it really does apply to. When people are like, when your fave do blank, you don't have as big a problem with it. She is one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she had like old colorism tweets surface, or if she said something transphobic or problematic or whatever, the people that are typically anti that and down on that and make a living talking shit about people that fuck up like that, they're a little more lenient on her because they're like, oh, she's from the hood, she's this, she's that, you know, y'all expect people to be from this and to do that. And you know, it's kind of like an interesting juxtaposition to put themselves in, because essentially they are in many cases either academic, blackademic, or whackademic ass niggas that like make a living off of like Patreon Medium pieces about, you know, colorism catching hands and Cardi B 37 part tweet series, and you know, like, they make, and Cash App me at the end, you know, like, they make money kind of breaking this shit down. But it's funny to me because it's like, in its own way, because I think Twitter and social media is kind of overrepresented, representative of people that are, you know, communicators, right? I mean, obviously that would make sense. Like, the people who are, prefer the written language would be more attracted to, right, places where written language is elevated, right?
Mm-hmm.
To a certain extent. And, it's like, so you have these people that are very verbose, very like long-winded with their analysis and shit. And they're very, you know, some of these motherfuckers have PhDs, some of these motherfuckers are going to college for shit. And then they're breaking down Cardi B essentially just trying to steal off on Nikki as if it's like it needs breaking down, you know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up in the era of the Source Awards. We don't actually need...
Right, how people have such fucking selective memory.
Like, we don't need the analysis is what I'm saying. I'm not even talking about the whole, like, we need, like, you can't talk about it or nothing. Right, it's just, I don't need the, like, woke, super, hyper, pro-black type, you know, type shit. Women... Let's discuss colorism as Nikki, a Trinidadian, is attacking a black woman who was born in the Bronx or whatever. And I'm just like,
It ain't that important. At least save your 2000 word essay, baby.
Right. You know, you have people that are like, I mean, but it's also the versatility of blackness. And it's like I said, I'm not even mad at these people. It's funny. This is not a y'all need to stop. This is a please continue. It's one of my favorite pastimes is looking at people who have elevated themselves to this station in life where they are the black explainers of everything, and they are always woke intersectionality, feminism, this, that, and like they are so like high up in their own minds, and they're so like elevated in their own minds, and everything black needs to be like explained and codified and monetized and this and that. And then some shit like this happened to where a nigga like me is like, oh, nigga shit. Yes, I know what's happened right away.
Right, you ain't got to explain it. If you want to, fine. But yeah, I'm not going to read it.
I can explain it. I can tell you how it happened. I don't need a whole lot of words either. Mm-mm. If I see you and I don't speak, that mean that I don't fuck with you.
I mean, she did a whole fucking song, y'all.
I'll tell you what happened. That bitch is talking about my kids. That's why, like, motherfuckers are like, in the African-American vernacular, for one to come at the offspring of prodigious, like you don't need all the words, baby. We seen it. She threw a chair, and then everybody start fighting. You know, like, that's it. It's just, I don't know. I don't know how that can't be funny to everybody. Like, I hope they never stop, to be honest.
They won't.
It don't matter what she does, because what happened was, like, a lot of, like, woke people, they like her.
They do.
And, I mean, but a lot of people like her.
Right.
But with the woke folks, it's off-brand for them to like somebody. Because they spend so much time disliking everybody and telling us what's wrong with people.
Right.
So then they have to do all this extra work to defend liking them. By writing all these layers and layers of shit, well, I'm just like, can't you just like her? Just like her.
At the end, to me.
Yeah, you don't even need to, like, put it through a lens of black resistance in the era of Trump. Like, nah, just, you like Cardi B. She's a flawed human being like we all are. She's gonna do some shit that doesn't line up with your politics. She's gonna say something that you disagree with, as is everybody. And you don't even need to explain it. We got it. You wanted to see her lump Nikki ass up because Nikki been out here talking reckless, and you was hoping somebody would lay the hands on her. You don't even need to explain to us why that's okay, even though you're anti-violent and you hate to see black women fight. And you don't even need to explain. You don't even need to, but please do. Please do explain, because it's fucking hilarious. But yeah, then somebody was like, yeah, well, I thought she was above this because she didn't fight her, even though Nikki's been talking shit about her for months. I said, that baby is out now.
She was pregnant.
Once that baby popped out, she was like, okay. Because I remember when they...
She was like, all the games is over, bitch. I've been hearing you.
Yeah, when they saw each other at the Met Gala in that still picture, I was like, oh, that's a picture of a woman that is like, so what's up with all that shit you've been talking?
Yeah, you better be glad I'm pregnant.
I don't even think she said, you better be glad. I don't think she threatened her at all.
No.
She just walked up to her and said, what's up with all that shit you've been talking? And Nikki had the face of a woman who said, what shit, girl? You know I don't be talking no shit. I love you, girl. And she was like, okay, because if you got a problem with me, I'd rather you just tell me right to my face. No, I don't have no problems. Okay, then, bye. And then Nikki went on and kept talking shit about her. You know, like, that's really what happened. Like, if somebody was like, yeah, Nikki had all that energy when she was talking about Miley Cyrus was good on the stage, and I said, y'all acting like if Miley would have came on that stage to whoop Nikki's ass, Nikki was ready to fight. I don't know that. Like, she was on stage at an event with security. Like, she might just be talk shit and hide behind security ass niggas. She might not be everybody's you know, the girl who's gonna throw hands. A lot of people not, you know, especially with music, rap music, like a lot of that shit is persona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me get on the microphone and talk a certain way. Are you gonna really do that shit? No. You know what I mean? But yeah, it was so good, man. Oh my god, the wokes were trying, because it was like 3 in the morning, I couldn't go to sleep, and this shit was on the timeline. I was like, boy, they trying to justify this shit right here so good. How can I still like her after she is out here trying to whoop people ass? I said, you know what, man, carry on, guys. So good. Anyway, that happened. People, and of course people's like, Anna Wintour, what about her? I was like, who gives a fuck about Anna Wintour? When do y'all care about Anna Wintour?
I don't know who that one. I probably have heard of her, but
she's a big name, Devil Wears Prada, all this shit.
Oh, that lady.
Yeah, like she a big part. I mean, she big in the fashion industry, but at the same time, like, and we need to make up our minds, dude. Do we care about these white people's faces or not?
Come on.
You know, like, so what? Did she get punched in the face? Then she all right? They won't get invited back. And bye. They'll be okay.
We'll be just fine.
Some things on principle are just more important. You got to try to whoop somebody's ass, apparently, let them know the shit is different.
And
you know?
And don't fuck with you and just leave you alone. Like I done told you, leave me alone.
Yeah, Nicki been talking a lot of shit lately. I mean, it's kind of what happens. And even with all this, it's still not as bad as when I was growing up. All the pearl clutching can stop.
Right.
Like, we grew up in an era where motherfuckers was getting literally killed over this shit. I'm not.
And putting hands and brawling. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, like I said, it's funny how old folks get sedated and all of a sudden they act like they fucking above this, and our generation wasn't a crack. Crack generation wasn't a rap beef balance, rap beef generation and shit like that. Like, we are not all of us. Some of us really got our nose up in the air talking about these kids. Nigga, what?
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Young Thug reportedly hit with 8 felonies for drugs and guns.
Woo!
That's a lot of it's a lot of guns and felonies.
Come on.
8 felonies.
Come on, I was talking about that police officer. Shit, he really did get the A1 felonies. All the felonies.
Yeah, last year's legal issues are officially caught up with Young Thug, as the Atlanta-bred rapper has been slapped with 8 felonies from his September arrest in Georgia. He was booked for tinted windows and marijuana possession, but now it appears officials have added additional charges to the case, the charge of possession and intent to distribute meth. He sells meth and hydrocodone and weed.
Oh.
He was also hit with a possession charge for having amphetamine, alprazolam, codeine, and a gun. But these drugs these niggas sell these days, boy.
I mean, a lot of them is better than a doctor with the PhDs. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
They be knowing what it is. They be knowing the periodical table breakdown. I'm like, woo! Smart street niggas.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, sad to see another black man hemmed up on some bullshit, but I don't know, that's pretty distribution of meth. That's a lot of meth.
Come on.
His additional charges come just 1 month after the rapper was busted and booked on a felony gun charge at his birthday and album release party. Jesus. I mean, you can't say it was false advertising. He was definitely told you he was a Young Thug, so. It's in the name, you know. What's the record label gonna say? We didn't know. But if you don't know who Young Thug is, Karen.
Yes, I know this song.
Bridge gang, about to talk, baby. Got like 4 ounces in the 20, bitch. Did a lot of shit, just live this here lifestyle.
Oh wait, no.
I about to say, is this the wrong thug?
I don't know.
This the lifestyle, dude. That's him. That's wrong.
Nah, it's the right one.
Okay.
Nah, somebody in the chat said it was the wrong one, but it's not. It's Lifestyle by Young Thug, Rich Homie Quan, Rich Gang. So, maybe you need to brush up on your shit, okay? Mm-hmm. But nah, sad for him, man. My man, Nimmin, this lifestyle is might be out here. I swear, man, you can't like none of these trap rappers. They too real. They stay going to jail.
Well, I'm not a real thug, y'all. I let y'all know, nope, nothing thuggish about me at all.
Well, good luck, Young Thug.
Good luck, baby.
Somebody said he might have just had so much meth that he got charged with intent to distribute in the chat. And that might be true. But I feel like any black person with meth is just doing wrong shit. Like, that's not even our drug. Stay away from that. Like, whatever that is, meth is not something to play with. You see what it's doing to these people?
Taking folks out of here.
So, that one, like, is that even in our repertoire? Like,
I don't know. He got that shit like the Sam's Club. Did they walk in there and be like, I want the 40 bulk pack? What the fuck is this?
Woman blows off her fingers after mistaking a candle for dynamite. I mean, a dynamite for a candle in her house. Bridgeport, Connecticut. In other
what
news,
the fuck?
People just keep dynamites around their house.
And I don't know nothing about dynamite, but don't dynamite like burns completely different than a candle? I don't know.
Apparently, I mean, well, obviously it does.
That's what I'm saying.
It blows up your hand, it
no,
does.
No, can't you look at that bitch? You know, you light up a candle, it's quiet. You light up a dynamite, nigga, candles don't.
Something. She thought it was a special candle.
Candles don't sizzle and shit. What's happening here?
It happened in Bridgeport on Thursday, according to ctpost.com. The woman tried to light a candle during a power outage in the thunderstorm. Instead, she lit a quarter stick of dynamite.
Who keeps dynamite? What is she doing? Why is dynamite in your house? What is you blowing up?
Her hand, apparently.
Apparently so.
I guess she didn't have to blow the candle out. The candle blew her out.
Yeah, it did.
One of her children called 911. She was transported to the hospital with serious hand injury. Nobody else was injured in the incident, which is still under investigation. Police and fire crew at the scene found a second device they described as a makeshift firework. Okay.
Was somebody making this and she didn't know and she just lit it thinking, oh, I got a candle? And it's maybe because we don't really do candlesticks here, but she may have mistaken it for a candlestick.
Sound like she doesn't do candlesticks, but yes, that's exactly what happened. That she thought it was a candlestick. She lit it up to light up the house during the thunderstorm, and well, yeah, this is what happened.
Blew up.
Yep. Let's see what else happened. The homeless veteran who the white people robbed of $400,000 raised the money for him in a GoFundMe, and now all the money's gone. And the homeless veteran is suing them, which, I mean, I guess, but, like, that's not a crime yet? Like, how is that not a crime?
Right.
Like, how is this just a go to court and talk about a crime and not a go to jail crime?
Yeah, y'all stole from this man.
I guess our law hasn't caught up with this yet. But I don't know, it seemed like this should be some sort of, I don't know, something. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Well, I'm sorry.
And the thing is, sometimes no crooks be crooking, and they probably figured out it wasn't no law. They figured out, not trying to find it, they were looking like, what can you really do to come and get us?
Crooks do be crooking. That's a good point. John Bobbitt Jr., a homeless Philadelphia ex-Marine, will get the money owed him from a GoFundMe campaign that raised more than $400,000 for him. He reached an agreement today with GoFundMe, and they have agreed to make sure he will be made whole. In a statement to the company said, it would back the money raised.
Yeah, and if I was GoFundMe, I would press charges against them. Don't do this shit. Don't do this shit, and then don't give these people their money.
Bobbitt has now received $20,000 part of the guarantee, which will be used to get him an apartment and food. What if people like, I want to spend it on drugs? What y'all doing? The rest of the money will be handed over after GoFundMe conducts an investigation relying on items seized by the Burlington County Prosecutor's Office and what his attorneys turned over to them, Fallon says. A couple, Kate McClure and Mark D'Amico, started the campaign after McClure ran out of gas and became stranded last October, and Bobby helped her out with his last $20. The page was titled Paying It Forward. The response was incredible. 14,347 people donated over $400,000 over the course of 10 months. Since then, the money has been in dispute, and Bobby is suing the couple, accusing them of fraud. Bobby's attorney says his client was only seeing about $75,000 of that money and should have gotten about $300,000 more after GoFundMe fees. The couple has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing, but a court order from deadline for them to hand over the cash has passed. In court on Thursday, the couple agreed to let a forensic accountant open their books to see where those fundraising dollars were deposited. Their attorney said the couple had given Bobby over $200,000. Police executed a search warrant of their home Thursday, but the couple have not been charged with anything. The couple say they're wary of giving Bobby the rest of the funds till the veteran secured a job and was off drugs. Oh, so then they became the arbiters of, like, in their minds, of when he can get this money, which they raised for him, which, I mean, honestly, how do you get to say?
Right.
Before the court ordered, like, then don't raise the money. Before the court ordered to hand over the money was issued, D'Amico, quoted by the Philadelphia Inquirer, saying he'd rather burn the money in front of Bobby than give it to him, because he said giving an addict that money would be like giving him a loaded gun. So they're saying they're doing this out of altruism. They don't want to, you know, give him unlimited money, because then since he's on drugs, he's just gonna be using it all up.
The purpose was for him. Like, that was your whole purpose. What the fuck? He can do whatever he wants to do with that money, baby. That's no longer your responsibility.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, then just don't raise the money.
Correct.
So I can understand that. Bobby does have a drug addiction problem and plans to participate in a month-long rehab program, according to his attorney. As for the couple, they've been ordered to appear in a deposition on Monday. The Superior Court judge in New Jersey, Paula T. Dow, says she's no longer comfortable hearing only from the couple's attorney and wants them to answer questions in person. Wow. As the worm turns. That's some crazy shit right there. All right, let's talk about everybody's favorite new part of the show. Let's talk about these brides. Okay, a bride calls off her wedding after friends and family refuse to pay £1,200. And the £1,200 was to attend the wedding. A modern romance. It's all Instagram shots and snarky comments on Facebook.
I figured that out. I about to say, how much that is in U.S. dollars?
Yeah, you know you can. You got that computer over there and that brain.
I'm using it right now.
It's all Instagram shots and snarky comments on Facebook. When you find something like this, you can't imagine life otherwise. One broken love story is doing online rounds as Susan was about to marry her long-term boyfriend in a blowout wedding to last the ages.
Ooh, that's $1,500.
US dollars, that's correct. Everyone knows a nice Facebook rant is the best way to heal a broken heart, which is exactly what Susan aired her grievances for her friends and family to read, probably quite shocked after the things she called them. Dear friends. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Dear friends. It comes with great sadness that I am announcing the cancellation of the wedding. I apologize for canceling only 4 days beforehand. Unfortunately, and I have broken up into some recent and irreparable problems. We have decided to end our relationship and not go forth with any future proceedings. However, we are remaining civil and are still a team for our son. After hearing hours of tears, mental exhaustion, and even disassociation, I have come to this decision. In 1 hour after posting this status, I am going to delete my Facebook. Social media has caused me only paranoia and toxicity. I will be spending these next 2 months backpacking in South America, exploring my soul and ridding myself of toxic energy brought on by friends and family.
Bitch, with who money?
The ones who I thought I could trust the most. Hence, I will be out of the country for all of October and November. And please don't contact me. When I'm ready, I may make a new Facebook and add friends and family that haven't fucking stabbed me in the back. How did this all come crashing down? Well, I'll invite you all on Facebook. Players, bystanders, and side characters of the people in my life to take a seat and listen. You're all involved somehow. Somehow everyone is wrapped into this mess. Even if you weren't invited to my wedding, I don't care. You might hear of the drama, and I'd rather you hear it from me. I'm not asking for sympathy. I just want to tell my story. Before I begin this mini novel, I invite all of you, including the cunts who have ruined my marriage and life, to put yourself in my shoes for once. Let me take the stage and let me voice the most painful few months of my life. First, things were a fairy tale. I met the love of my life at 14. We were both young, but somehow we just knew we were meant to be. We worked on my family's farm together, and with each warm summer in the fields, our love grew deeper and deeper. Fast forward to high school. We went strong all 4 years. He put a ring on my finger when I was 18, worth $5K. We'd put everything on the line for each other. Everything. We both chose to attend the same community college and work full time in order to build our dream. We spent most of our days by each other's sides. I will always be thankful for that. Fast forward a few years, I was 20. I realized I was pregnant for my first. We were elated, tearful, and thankful for God for this gift. After giving birth to Declan. I knew the name. Don't laugh, Karen.
Who was his cousin? Black and Decker?
Don't you laugh about my child's name. I will put hands on you like Cardi B. Declan. I knew the next stop would be to focus on my career and become financially stable. My ex did the same. We saved and saved. I was in love. I was happy, and I was looking forward to my life. We continued working and even got our degree. It was hard, yes, but so blissfully worth it. We managed to save up nearly $15K for a wedding. Since our love was like a fairy tale, we wanted an extravagant blowout wedding, one where our son could be included. We started touring venues, and we were torn between two. A local psychic told us to go with the more expensive option, and we thought, why the hell not? We just needed a little push. Our dream wedding amounted to $60,000. All included. Don't, that's not a lot. You broke bitches. It's not a lot. All included with the flights to Aruba. All we asked was for a little help from our friends and family to make it happen. I specifically asked for cash gifts. How could we have our wedding that we dreamed about without proper funding? We sacrificed so much and only asked each guest for around $1,500. We talked to a few people who even promised us more to make our dream come true. My maid of honor, who shall not be named, pledged $5,000 along with her planning services. We tearfully thanked and accepted. My ex's family offered to contribute $3,000, so our request for $1,500 for all other guests was not fucking out of the ordinary. Like, we made it clear. If you couldn't contribute, you are invited to an exclusive wedding. It's a once-in-a-lifetime party. So we sent out RSVPs, and only 8 people replied and sent us the check.
8? That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. 8 times 1,500 is pretty, it's a nice haul. Anyway.
We were livid! How is this supposed to happen without a little help from our friends? To make matters worse, my ex-family took back their offer. Suddenly, more people backed out, including that cunt maid of honor, my best friend since childhood, my second family. I was so shocked and tearful. To make matters worse, it was only a month before the wedding. To cancel everything would have cost more than $5,000. Desperately, we resent our invites and asked people to donate what they could. I mean, seriously, people, is $1,000? What is $1,500? Clearly not a lot. It will be quite manageable within the budget. I've heard of people asking for worse. We also set up a GoFundMe that only got us $250. I bet if she had a homeless veteran, she could have got that money, though.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, we were exhausted, tired,
I yelled at my ex. I became unraveled. I realized my dream wedding was becoming a nightmare. Then it got worse. My ex came into the room and offered to get a Vegas wedding done. I laughed in his face, but he was dead serious. He wanted those cheap, raggedy, filthy, whore-like Vegas weddings. I mean, what the fuck? Was he even out of his mind? Am I some hooch piece of fucking trash? A hooker? Am I supposed to like the idea of getting married in the heart of shady gamblers, alcoholics, and the get-rich-fast fallacy? Suddenly, my body began to shake as I entered a panic attack. My ex left the room and he didn't apologize for his hard suggestion, and I did call my maid of honor and cried my eyes out. Instead of sympathy, I was told that I was asking for way too much and I should stick to my budget. That bitch. I mean, no words can describe how could someone who offered me thousands of fucking dollars then deny me my promised money and then tell me to shit down my budget. She knows my fucking dream was a blowout wedding. I just wanted to be a Kardashian for a day and then live my life like a normal. I called her a filthy fucking... That's like normal, yes. I called her a filthy fucking poor excuse of a friend and hung up. Then she blocked me off of all social media. Oh, can't believe she would do something like that. Why would she do that after you call her a filthy fucking poor excuse of a friend? Wow, I mean, what kind of response is that? Does she know it's your wedding? Then she blocked me off of all social media. Rumors swirled. I received anonymous threats. My ex stayed out later and later, and I have a feeling he even cheated. My bridesmaids climbed on the boat of my maid of honor and dissed me. They essentially told me I was crazy. They asked me for their deposit back. So I said, fuck you. I refuse to give it back until they pay back for the emotional distress. My ex started to talk to my maid of honor and gossip about me behind my back. I overheard him talking in the basement, and he called me a stuck-up bitch. Anyway, I'm exhausted. I'm bone-tired. My heart is not the same. It's stone-cold, fragmented, empty. I need to get away from this awful society. How hard would it have been to fucking donate, friends? Do I matter to you? Just fucking give me money for my wedding. I won't even sugarcoat it. I won't even pretend that's not what I wanted. It was for a dream. It was, I was stabbed, cheated on, and worked. Goodbye. See you in 2 months. Friendly reminder to you cunts. Don't think you own me. I'm cutting all of you snakes off. And I'm living my life alone now. All is left in those who I believe have good intentions. Hugs and kisses. So then people responded, I have no words. You're out of your mind, Susan. What happened to you? Who on hell expects that amount of money? Said another person.
Right.
So then Susan dropped an update, I guess.
She gonna do too much traveling without her child.
Wait, hold on. Was Susan doing this? Oh no, Susan's cousin gave some background. Okay. Sorry. Update. Now, wow. First, thank you all for making my night. I've been sitting back watching the comments roll in while laughing my ass off. All of you are 100% accurate in the judgment of Susan, and I am very glad I don't have to see her more than once a year. So first, yes, this is a living, breathing human being. I sadly share a small percentage of DNA with her. Clearly, she has entitlement issues, but I have never known her to be this obnoxious. Honestly, over the years, she's been nice and overall sweet. No red flags come to mind. She has humble beginnings and has been working on her parents' farm since she was young. You really wouldn't expect someone from an agricultural background to value Kardashian-style materialism, but hey, I guess she's an outlier. I noticed quite a few years ago that she follows and likes Kardashian stuff obsessively. She mentions them frequently and references their lives a lot. She's very much into comparing herself with others. She especially is envious of Kylie Jenner and has personally complained to me about not being able to afford to get lip fillers and implants. She has always been very consumed with social media and can't seem to stay off her phone. These aren't necessarily red flags to me, but like maybe a sign of social media was getting in her head a bit. Another thing to mention is that she accumulates lots of designer clothes and possessions. She's the type to ask where you got your purse from and then not to so subtly dangle her $400 Coach bag in front of you. Mm-hmm. For her baby shower, she made a regular Target registry and asked for one of those royal baby carriages. If anyone knows the one I'm talking about, those are easily $2,000 to $3,000, even the fake ones. She manipulated her family and friends into pooling money together to buy one. And when no one pulled money at first, she made increasingly whiny posts about not being able to afford the best life for her baby. And after all, it's a once in a lifetime. Like, bitch, a $2,000 carriage will do nothing to improve the baby's life. You could get one for $300 and that would be perfectly acceptable. Or should I even suggest a used baby carriage? Anyway, her baby shower was an okay wreck. What's an okay wreck? It was really on the verge of becoming a solid wreck of entitlement, but I think most of us let it go. She seemed to have a good time, but she was very snappy with the kind people who helped put everything together. When I try to analyze her and her entitled behavior, I believe deep down she's very insecure about her status and how she stacks up to others. Growing up on a farm isn't the most glamorous thing. Maybe her feelings of embarrassment and shame is fueling her craving for luxury and making others pay for it. Either way, I don't think anyone in my extended family could have really predicted this. I'm very glad she broke things off with her ex, as I truly believe she needs to evaluate herself and her life. At her state right now, she sounds like the perfect candidate for a sugar daddy. I really hope for her healing and recovery, because she wasn't raised to be like this. On a final note, I understand everyone's valid concern about her leaving her son for 2 months and go backpacking. However, nobody believes she's actually going to South America. I mean, what the fuck? This woman has never been outside of the U.S., does not speak any language other than English. We all think she's saying that to be dramatic. I also have a feeling she may have been drinking while writing this status. It's especially vulgar and incredibly embarrassing. I was only up for maybe 15 minutes before she... Oh, it was only up for maybe 15 minutes before she took it down. Thank you, everyone, and let me know if I can fill in any more details. There you guys go. Our bride of the week.
Yeah, come on. That's white people news for the day.
Y'all ain't got $1,500 to put in on this? I mean, I'm just saying. Ooh,
$2,700. Them shits is expensive.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, guys.
And ain't nothing special about them.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do some fucking with black people.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe, we find different articles to make us feel fuck with, and we assign point scores of 0 to 100 at intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody! Yay! Alright, let's see who's fucking with us today. Text messages reveal George Zimmerman allegedly threatened Beyonce and Jay-Z. They'll find themselves inside of a 13-foot gator. In a sequence of text messages obtained by The Blast, Zimmerman can be seen stating that the Carters would find themselves inside of a 13-foot gator. Zimmerman also referred to Beyonce as a broke whore and called Jay-Z, who was a co-executive producer of the film Rest in Power about Trayvon Martin, a docuseries. He called him a bitch. The messages were reportedly sent to private investigator Dennis Warren, who was hired to find details regarding the case of Trayvon Martin. Zimmerman was previously charged with stalking Warren after he reported that he received 21 phone calls, 38 texts, and 7 voicemails from Zimmerman within a 2-hour period. The Blast also reports that, according to a close source, Zimmerman also sent threatening messages to Michael Gasparo, who co-produced the docuseries with Jay-Z. Rest in Power concludes Monday at 10 with the 6th and final part. Mm-mm. And the messages will be revealed in the final episode. Yep. I'll never forgive America, white America, for propping this crazy man up who killed that black kid for no other reason than to make a hero out of somebody.
Right. He's not
who killed
even
a black kid.
Right, he's not even white.
Right, he's white passing, and so he's white, and white people wanted him to be their hero.
Correct.
100, as mm-hmm. always.
He's a permanent 100.
Say what now? A man confesses to writing racist and misogynistic words on the Arby's sign because he was bored. So remember when we saw that sign that said like now hiring niggers and whores?
Mm-hmm.
Colin Hopper is the guy's last name.
He worked for Arby's.
I don't know if he worked for him.
Oh, okay.
Let me let the article load.
Oh, no problem.
It's from lovebscott.com, so you know it ain't exactly the top-notch professional journalism I've come to expect. Sorry everybody to let you down. In addition to taking forever to load it, some of the questions and details are missing. Yeah, according to New York Daily News, so 19-year-old Usandini Christopher Colin Hopper has been charged with criminal defamation, public nuisance, and disorderly conduct after admitting to cops that he rearranged the letters on the Arby sign in Minnesota to read "Now hire niggers and whores." An untold number of shocked motorists passed the restaurant last week, witnessed the sign before the one cop spotted it, took down the filthy letter, and according to Minneapolis affiliate WCCO-TV, Colin Hopper might have inadvertently tipped police to be the perpetrator after a criminal complaint revealed he was the first person to post a photo of the altar sign on social media. During his interview, the complaint asserted he changed the lettering because he was bored while waiting on the bus and thought it would be funny.
Wow.
So I wanted to change the lettering, makes me wonder, did he change it? But like, was it something else? Remember when I said it could say like now hiring mm-hmm. night right. managers, and right. he changed it to now hiring niggers and whores?
Right, Gary, yeah, I'm with you now. Yeah, like the employee that they sent out that did their job, somebody out there waiting on the bus was like, you know what, fuck it. And right. I bet you the employee, I hope the poor employee did get fired when they was like, I didn't fucking do that. I wrote hiring first shift employee. What the fuck is this?
So I don't know. I wonder if that's what it said. Like now hiring nights and
mm-hmm. now hiring nights and weekends hiring all shifts available. You know how they be like come in for interviews between 5 and 3. You know all that shit they have up on them boards.
Well, he was bored waiting for the bus, so eh.
Mm-hmm. Waiting on that number two took too long.
So 0 to 100.
Oh, 100, fuck him.
Yeah, I give it 25. I'm not that offended, just stupid. Exclusive: Georgia cops suspended after liking KKK Facebook post. Georgia police officer has been suspended after anti-fascist exposed his history of liking racist Facebook posts explicitly promoting the Ku Klux Klan. Wait, just suspended, not promoted? Wow, that's progress. East LJ Police Department officer Tommy Long was put on paid administrative leave pending an investigation into any ties he might have to the KKK. Well, if y'all come back and find out he doesn't have ties to the KKK, he can just come back and be a police officer even though he liked all they posts? How does that make sense? Make that make sense. On Wednesday, Atlanta anti-fascists, a member of a group of the Torch Network of militant anti-fascists, which confronts and exposes white nationalists across America, published an article with screenshots showing Long liking multiple Facebook posts promoting the KKK. Callahan told HuffPost that Long admitted the Facebook page belonged to him, but either denied or claimed not to remember liking some of the KKK-related posts uncovered by Atlanta anti-fascists. Long did not respond to HuffPost's request for comment. I just don't listen. If you have enough likes of KKK stuff to not remember, I feel like you shouldn't be able to be a police officer.
Mm-mm.
Could just be me, Karen. Maybe I'm just making it up.
Right.
Long was friends on Facebook with 6 accounts appearing to belong to 2 KKK members: Imperial Wizard Charles Jeffrey Denton, aka Cole Thornton, and Grand Dragon Justin Stephen Owens, aka Stephen Owens. After Atlanta anti-fascist published its article Wednesday, Long temporarily deactivated his Facebook account. When it was reactivated Thursday, he was no longer friends with the 2 KKK members. Nothing to see here, guys. He has not, however, unlike racist posts.
Open and shut case.
Are you upset about Black Lives Matter being in Georgia? Owens, the KKK member, wrote in Facebook in July 2016. You like to sit back and watch yet another city destroyed by these mongrels? Our state, Georgia, with this crap going on. Take a stand, save our land, join the Klan. Oh, y'all stole rapping from us? Wow. The post links to the website for the United Northern and Southern Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. In December 2016, Owens posted a photo of a gold ring inscribed with the initials of the United Northern and Southern Knights and the blood drop cross symbol on the of the KKK. Long like this post too. February 2016, Denton A.K. Thornton, who now lives in Ellijay, Georgia, according to public records, posted a photo of his on his Facebook page showing himself in a KKK robe with what appears to be a burning cross in the background. Long like this post. Jesus. What the fuck? 100.
Mm-hmm. Same.
The fuck kind of suspension? What's the suspension supposed to do with this? Like, just get him the fuck out of here. What are y'all talking about? Idiots. All right, let's Nike online sales jumped 31% after they did the Kaepernick campaign.
Oh, that's right. I haven't bought me no Nike. I don't care if I buy some swoop shocks. I'm gonna purchase something.
Yeah, well, that's
I want cool. A cat suit. I'm looking for a
do they
cat
sell
suit.
Cat suits?
They do.
Okay, they where do. You gonna wear this at?
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
He said all right.
Even
I don't do nothing but wear it here. Shit, I mean, got
I'm okay
the
with that. That's fine by me. Don't let me stop you.
Shit, I might put a tutu around my yoga pants and call it a day.
But yeah, that 31% boost is just another sign that the NFL lied.
Right,
but we have to do this for business purposes. Kneeling mm-hmm. is bad for business. Well, according to Nike, it's good for business. Mm-hmm. And it's not even like Nike explicitly did anything with that kneeling. For the record, all they did was have Colin Kaepernick in an ad that basically was about don't try to pursue your crazy dreams. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even on some like you need to kneel and America is disrespectful. They just did mm-hmm. like the same way that Tom Brady's face is never gonna be for Trump. But his commercial can be like Uggs, dare to be different or whatever the fuck, and you just go buy the Uggs. That happens with Nikes.
Yeah, he's probably gonna get a shoe. I don't know about the clothing line, but he's probably gonna get a shoe. The shoe's probably gonna sell like crazy. And I wish so we had the folks down here that got mad and be like, fuck it, just do it. 30% off, 50% off your Nikes. Why don't y'all do that here? Everybody have any fucking Nike sales? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you know all you doing is they just people just buying more Nike shit, right?
Yeah, and like it's not like they're doing this for Eric Reed or somebody who also kneeled and can't get a job. Like it's just interesting that Kaepernick has been able to monetize this and Nike was able to see that they could monetize it and yet the NFL claims they can't.
Whatever. Yeah, because you know what? Those people that are buying this shit, those are the people that the NFL ignores. Like y'all ignore those people.
Well, they just assume that we'll be there, right? Yeah. They just assume that hey, you guys will spend the money to be here and for us, and it's like no, you don't know that. Like mm-mm. You guys assume that black people will continue to tune in or that they don't have enough money to be a difference, and you know, as different ratings things and stuff come in, instead of y'all going well, it must not have anything to do with the kneeling. Y'all go, or instead of y'all going, it's because people don't like how we treated Kaepernick. They go, no, this has to do with the kneeling, and people just don't like the kneeling. And on the one hand, they're right, mm-hmm. because the kneeling has turned off both sides. It's turned off people that are extremely like pro-black, and it's turned off people that are extremely anti-black.
Mm-hmm.
But they only care about the people that are anti-black.
Right.
And getting them back. They don't care about the people that are pro-black and getting their dollars back, which says a lot.
Right, and their dollars spend, because ask Papa John's, they dollars don't support shit. He went, come on, racist, and they was like, mm-mm.
Cop to 11-year-old girl he tased. This is why there's no grocery stores in the black community. Oh, by the way, zero for that last story. With Colin Kaepernick, 31%. A Cincinnati police officer has been placed on desk duty after tasing an 11-year-old girl for allegedly shoplifting and telling her this is why there's no grocery stores in the black community. This is why. Officer Kevin Brown, who is black, was investigating several juvenile females allegedly stealing items from a Kroger grocery store in early August when he approached a girl in the store. She reportedly ignored him, continued to walk away, ignoring several commands to stop. That's when the officer tased the girl in the back and told her, "You know, sweetheart, this is why there's no grocery stores in the black community. Last thing I want to do, sweetheart, is tase you like that." Brown says in the body cam video from August 6th incident, "When I say stop, you stop. You know you're caught, just stop. That hurt my heart to do that to you. Then I got to listen to all these idiots out here in the parking lot tell me how I was wrong for tasing you. You broke the law and fled as I was trying to apprehend you."
Was she even really stealing?
I don't know.
It don't even matter. Like, you're not justified for tasing the child.
I mean, there's other ways to get her in custody that don't involve tasing her.
Right. You're probably twice her weight and twice her size. You did not have to tase the child.
The comment was caught on Brown's body camera. It's the second time in 2 years he's faced accusations of making inappropriate comments while on the job. In 2016, he was written up for using a homophobic slur while describing an alleged domestic violence victim. Brown didn't turn his body camera on until after he deployed his taser, which is a violation of police policy. Why is there never a penalty for these? You know, like, they give them the body cameras, they always quote unquote malfunction or are not working. How come there's not more of a penalty for that? You have to make, that's what y'all believe in as cops, is making things so fucking unbearable to do a crime that people won't do crimes. How come that doesn't work with y'all and these fucking body cams? This shit is whack. Like, oh, now that we shot the nigga, turn it on. Boy, that Negro was grown. I don't know what happened, you know? But yeah, he later told police that his statement about grocery store wasn't biased and it was supported by statistics. Studies have shown that black neighborhoods with little poverty have fewer supermarkets than high poverty white areas. According to Civil East, there are fewer than a dozen black owned supermarkets across the entire country. Cincinnati Police Union President Dan Hills also defended Brown's statement, saying that there's, of course the police union did, certain element of truth in this statement. Police union should be outlawed. How can we trust in a fair judgment of this officer's action when so many of his high public positions condemn his actions before they knew all the facts, says a motherfucker that will constantly defend the police no matter what they do. 100.
Same.
That's 100 from me. All right, let's move into something else. Although, wait, there's another. Oh, I know what the other story was. So, a fucking white police officer woman walked into an apartment that wasn't hers and killed a man that was black that was there, and she thought it was her house. Is her
defense. You don't know where you live.
And yeah, I think she was charged at first, but then the Dallas Police Department, which is her police department, actually had to hand over the investigation to like the Texas Rangers, who I think rescinded the charge, if I'm not mistaken. I think she was arrested and her mugshot is out there. But anyway, there's a lot going on with that story. It's still moving, so I don't really 100% want to get into the details just yet. But I mean, obviously 100 on GP. You know, people are.
You don't know where you live, bitch. You randomly walked in somebody's fucking home.
Yeah, she said she was tired, but not too tired to kill somebody.
Come on.
She was too tired to know what apartment she was supposed to go to. And then there was people circulating pictures and shit saying that the officer was new to dude and they were friends or something. So I don't know what's true and what's not. It's very early in that story. Maybe we'll cover it one day when more details and things
right, because this stuff also coming out contrary to that, saying that they didn't know each other. So you never know.
Yeah, so y'all don't got to send me 300 links to this shit over and over again. I've seen it is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to something else. Let's see, I don't have that much time left, probably only like 10 minutes or so, because you know football is back. I'm not gonna do guess the race. Let's move on to let's do a little white people news, guys. You guys love that segment. and then we'll get out of here and go support all the black players that are still kneeling, because unlike y'all, we actually do care. Let's see, how about this one? Let this load for a second. Yeah, white people news, of course, is when we talk about the things that white people are up to, because their news relaxes us after a very intense dealing with racism when it comes to stuff like fucking with black people. Sometimes you need to wind down, unwind, and you know what's good for that? White people. They live stress-free existences.
We're getting the double dose, because apparently, because I'm trying to tell you earlier, that was 100% white people news.
Oh, the bride?
Yes.
Stuff? I mean, I guess you could look at it that way. Oh, we almost out of time, too. I got to go to the next section. Hold on.
I want to go to the
next.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the next section, and then I'll bring this up, guys. Give me one section.
Okay.
Second. Be right back on the screen. Right. Didn't realize we were that close to the break. Alright. Alright. I love the picture for the show art for this week, because I remember we went to Miami. We took that picture.
I know.
And then we watched that documentary last night, Black Miami.
Oh, that shit was so deep, man.
It's on Amazon Prime. If you guys want to check out Black Miami,
yeah, shout out.
It's a really great documentary.
Yeah, shout out to Jose, and then we had a great time down there with them.
Yeah, it's a great documentary about black people in the history of Miami, the city, and Florida, and how race affected Miami and all the building and
that shit is deep. You know, it was particularly when they talk about like the highways and shit like that. It was like, oh, they did that there. They did that all across the country. These fine, black neighborhoods that they put all the black people in their places. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just run a road through it.
Yeah, it's on Amazon, Black Miami.
And it's not long, too. It's a real good documentary.
Yeah, it's like a quote unquote cheaply made documentary, but it's basically just a black historian who gives his, a rundown of the events and history that shaped Miami and the racism that they dealt with down there, and the influx of different cultures, and how everybody that came there, like how white Cubans basically came to America and stole the jobs of black people that were already in Miami, because racism against black people was so bad. It's actually a really, really good documentary. All right, let's see if we can do a couple minutes of white people news before we get out of here. If this is gonna play, come on, man, what the hell? Computer trying to make me look bad.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. And I want you, and I need you. I'm down for you always, KB. Do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. And I want you, and I need you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, the new me is really still the real me. I swear you gotta feel me before they're trying to kill me. They gotta make some choices, they're running out of options. Cause I've been going off and they don't know when it's stopping. Ooh. Yeah, they don't know when it's stopping. Yeah, they don't know when it's stopping. I buy a champagne, but you love some Henny. From the block like you're Jenny. I know you're a special girl, cause I know too many. Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. And I want you, and I need you. I'm down for you always, KB. Do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. And I want you, and I need you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Trap money been in. This shit got me in my feelings, yeah, yeah. Gotta be real with it, yup, 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 ooh. Trap money been in. Got me in my feelings.
gotta be real with it. Yep, yep, yep. Mm-mm.
Dropped that harmony on him, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He out here, people like riding past him in boats, fishing and shit. But I mean, what the fuck he got? He got a whole sound system out there.
It was extremely white.
Very, very white. He at the fucking lake.
That's the kind of content I'm here for, okay? When it comes to this white people news shit. All right, let's see what's happening with white folk. A neighborhood is charging a fee for people to drive through their street. That is mighty white of them. Doesn't really get much whiter than that, okay?
How are you enforcing it? How are you gonna make people pay?
By the power of whiteness combined!
If it's a public street, people ain't gotta pay you shit.
I am Captain Whiteness. Captain Whiteness. He's politeness.
I mean, what are you doing? Stopping people? I don't understand this.
neighborhood charges fee to drive through the street. Surf City, North Carolina. Oh shit. For years, Surf City residents have been, fighting for safer roads in their neighborhood. It must be up the street from Steven Universe.
Right?
from
Beach City.
Now keep Surf City weird.
Yes.
Now they have taken matters to their own hands and they are charging through traffic to use their road. Residents in Cedar Landing community have been working with Pender County and Surf City officials to get some enforcement over stop signs and speed limits. Residents say they've used monitors to count thousands of cars that pass through weekly, but only 70 people live in the neighborhood. They are now charging drivers $5 to pass through Cedar Avenue. Not all people are happy, but most of them support the cause. We've had a couple give us tips, $50 tips, that kind of thing to support the cause. That's why we're trying to keep this thing going so we can maintain it and keep it safe for the kids, said Jeff Connerly, who is the current board that oversees the road.
What are you doing with this money?
They're working to get the NCDOT to take over their road, but the DOT cannot take on another road right now. The money they collect goes to the current board who maintains the road. That's the whitest idea I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. I wish black people could do that. I noticed you put this highway overpass over our neighborhoods to try to move us out.
Come on.
That'll be $5. A woman killed by an alligator while walking her dog in South Carolina. A woman has been killed by an 8-foot alligator while out walking her dog near a lagoon in a gated community in South Carolina. I didn't even know.
Did the dog survive?
Gators all made it to South Carolina, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah, gators down there.
Hopefully it wasn't one of those saltwater joints that we seen on that TV show.
I hope not. Them shits was big.
Coming in at number 4.
Oh.
On our deadliest animals.
That shit was unreal. They were like an alligator as long as a giraffe.
An alligator that can drive car. Those would be dangerous.
Right? I didn't realize alligators bite your ass and then do like a fucking tumble roll and break bones and shit.
Cassandra Klein, 45, protect her dog. You heard me. Trying to protect her dog when she was attacked and pulled into a lagoon on Monday. The Beaufort County Sheriff's Office said witnesses called 911 to report the alligator had attacked Klein near a lagoon. Over by Wood Duck Road in the Privacy Pines Plantation. Klein, who lived in the gated community, was dragged underwater by the alligator. Authorities said they found Klein's body in the lagoon. Arrived. Klein's dog did not appear to be harmed during the incident. That's right, Karen. She saved that damn dog. It's like the opposite of John Wick. It appears the alligator went after her dog and she tried to protect it. And the alligator was like, well, actually,
since you here, you fit the description of a larger meal.
I didn't know.
Come on now.
You know, I wasn't sure what I wanted to eat today. Dog, human.
I mean, who wants a drumstick? I mean, well, you can get the whole breast. What's happening here?
That's a good point. An autopsy is scheduled to be carried out. The alligator was later found and euthanized. Oh, y'all gonna kill the alligator because the alligator wear alligator? Okay. Oh, gotta put it down for doing what it's designed to do since it's been here for prehistoric motherfucking billions of millennia or some shit. But now it's gotta go because it's DNA.
Come on.
Blake Smith, 34, was leaving his house when he saw police cars and fire trucks in the neighborhood. I waited about 30 minutes, then I started hearing rumors about what happened down the road from here. It's odd that it's the first time we heard about an aggressive alligator around a human in the 5 years we've been living here. Smith said that at times alligators have been spotted in yards or pools, but sea ponds quickly removed those animals. They do a good job. This is a sad incident. I have a young son, so it's kind of concerning to see something like this could happen. C. Pine said in a statement that it's working with authorities to ensure necessary access to the site while investigation is underway. Damn.
Y'all in their territory. Alligators are dangerous. Alligators, they do water. They fuck around. They climb up on land. Mm-hmm. They will get your ass.
You know how to take elevators.
I'm surprised some of them probably can't climb trees. Who knows?
I seen an elevator on a plane once, y'all. Dead serious. Sitting right in first class. I said, what your black ass doing up here? I said, what? What your alligator ass doing up here? It was crazy.
He was like, look, I always come in purse form. You ain't got no excuse. Go.
Mm-hmm. A white man hijacked a fucking airplane and just flew it around.
What?
Yep. The wife of an airline employee who hijacked a plane in Seattle had recorded their 7 happy years of marriage on Instagram, calling him the man who keeps me laughing. Richard Russell had been revealed to be the man who stole an Alaska Airlines jet from the Seattle-Tacoma airport and took it for an hour-long joyride before crashing on an island in a ball of flames on Friday evening. His wife Hannah's Instagram put photos from happier times during the couple's life in Seattle, where the pair moved to after they met in school in 2010. Rich's job as an airport ground service agent provided him and Hannah with the opportunity to travel the globe, enjoying adventures everywhere from Alaska to Mexico to France. The happy husband portrayed in Hannah's Instagram is a far cry from the self-described broken guy who reportedly committed suicide by plane. At around 8 p.m., the Horizon Air employee stole a 76-seater Horizon Air turboprop Q400 from a maintenance area in Seattle Tacoma International Airport and took to the skies despite not having any apparent flying experience.
What? 76 seater? What did he do? YouTube that bullshit? No, YouTube got everything.
I don't know how he learned to fly it.
He did that Tom Cruise helicopter learning where you were learning on the fly.
Yeah, I guess he did literally learn on the fly. But yeah, he did that shit. While he was in the air, he described himself to air traffic controllers as just a broken guy with a few screws loose. Witnesses described seeing the aircraft perform barrel rolls and loop-de-loops as the military planes directed it away from highly populated areas and towards Keetron Island. This is probably jail time for life, huh? I would hope it is for a guy like me, Rich says in the audio clip released by authorities. Minutes later, the jet crashed into the islands in a ball of flames.
Is he out here doing tricks and shit? Mm-hmm. He just figured out how to fly. He ain't figured out how to land.
I guess, yeah, he's like the 9/11 hijacker.
Right, he didn't YouTube how to land. He just YouTube how to take off.
Yeah, one of the things I remember coming up that was a red flag for me, because they posted transcripts of some of the conversation they had, and one of the things he said was something about being a white man.
There is the runway just off your right side in about a mile. Do you see that? That's McCord Field.
Oh man, those guys would rough me up if I tried landing there. I think I might mess something up there too. I wouldn't want to do that. They probably got anti-aircraft.
No, they don't have any of that stuff. We're just trying to find a place for you to land safely.
Yeah, not quite ready to bring it down just yet, but holy smoke. I gotta stop looking at the fuel because it's going down quick.
That is the whitest thing I've ever heard in my life.
He didn't check the gas tank. He just took off and was like, ooh, hope I go, ooh, mm. Like you driving your car, like, oh, I hope I make it to the gas station.
Oh, man, this loop-de-loop took a lot out of me. I got to put I got to go to the gas station, put $5 more in this thing.
Ooh, just missed the last exit.
Man, I thought I could make it. I know my plane. I thought I could make it this last 50-mile light on, but it's looking kind of, looking like I'm not.
Looking kind of rough. I'm at a 4-foot tank, y'all.
I don't know what's going on. Probably shouldn't have done that last barrel roll. That one really stressed the tank out a little bit there. You know, I was good till I was going uphill, then the light came on.
Right?
Good grief.
No! Not quite yet.
I'm not ready to just lay it down just yet.
I got about 5 more miles on it.
I see you got them fighter jets trained on me, but just give me a couple more minutes over here. You want me to land the plane? Y'all want me to land the plane over there on the runway and shit? Okay.
So y'all okay. Can arrest me and shit. No.
That old trick. You almost got me, but you're not going to get your boy quite that easily.
Y'all about to come up with something new for me.
I hope you ain't think I was going to fall for the old land the plane on a runway thing. Mm-mm. And go to prison forever. No. I'm just going to blow the plane up. So.
What did me hit it?
He could have just like flown into a building or the airport or some shit. Like, what the fuck? Good grief.
Yeah, this could have been a lot worse.
I mean, his wife probably had no idea what the fuck this nigga was into.
You know she didn't.
I know she got that phone call. She like, he did what now?
What happened? He kissed me and said he was having a good day at work. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. He said he was going to fly. He flew a plane into an island and blew the fuck up. Why would he do that?
Right?
He doesn't even work. He's not a pilot. Sir.
He don't know how to fly a plane.
You can't just pick up a plane and fly it.
It's not like riding a bike.
Oh, they don't have keys. You just, if you know the right buttons, you can just do it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What is it? Self-starter? Just the big ass button to say self-start. That's what you push. Okay.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, man. I got to go watch football. All right. So we got to start talking about sore ratchetness and then get the hell out of here. Nobody go fly any planes and anything.
Please don't.
Good grief. Boy, they need problems, don't they?
Real problems.
They just need real problems besides Alex Jones getting kicked off the internet. Staff at a fast food restaurant in Sydney, CBD, were allegedly threatened with a wooden samurai sword. A man will face Central Local Court today following the alleged armed robbery and assault in Sydney, CBD last night. Just after 6:10 p.m. yesterday, a 32-year-old man entered a fast food restaurant on George Street and allegedly threatened staff with a wooden samurai sword and demanded money. A member of the public attempted to intervene before he was allegedly kicked, punched, and hit with the wooden sword. Oh, he got his ass whooped. Well, that is unfortunate. Hey, man, just put the sword down. Oh, shit. Oh, it's a sword. Nobody gonna help?
But goddamn.
It's just me by myself. Okay. All right. I thought this was a thing. I thought we made eye contact.
Mm-mm. Apparently, we didn't.
Officers from Sydney City Police Area Command and the Police Transport Command attended and arrested the man who was allegedly aggressive towards police. You know what I'm saying? He was taken to the Day Street Police Station, where he was charged with robbery, armed with offensive weapon, assault with intent to rob, while armed with an offensive weapon, and assault person with intent to resist apprehension and resist police officer in a execution of duty. He was refused bail. Mm-mm-mm. Well, all right, guys. Good luck to all your fantasy teams out there, guys. I know you guys are into that. If you're not into that, you're probably watching Power, so who the fuck are you to judge us? All
right.
Now, I'm gonna go out here and support the black people that are still kneeling, and you guys continue to boycott, and we're gonna get this thing from both ends. Everybody go buy some Nikes. All right, until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.